Good morning, Game Guy fans. Today is the last day of June, June 30th, 2026, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee on Break with JC Sherbert. Gonna throw some episodes out there for those of you that are loyal listeners to Inside the Gamecocks and Coffee on podcast and also on YouTube. Just want to stay with it, give you something. There's a lot going on out there, and we're gonna call it Coffee on Break. So probably a little later in the morning. Maybe sometimes earlier, but it's what 9:30 Eastern right now when I'm recording this, so mid-morning-ish. No later than that's when you can expect it. Plus some other video content on our YouTube channel, Inside the Gamecocks, and also all of those video specials most likely will go on the podcast channel as well. So we'll just keep you up to date right now while Chief Sports is on hiatus for our summer break, getting ready for season 5 of Inside the Gamecocks, what we all hope is a much better academic year for University of South Carolina Athletics. So the focus today is going to be kind of on what we've been talking about and kind of what the focus is with football. By the way, baseball's scorching it in the transfer portal right now. You can go GamecockCentral.com, TheBigSpur.com, On3 for all the latest yesterday. They picked up this kid named Bristol from Auburn. A center fielder yesterday. 298 was what he hit last year. Good on base percentage, kind of a leadoff guy, but record setting stealer of bases, which would be refreshing. Carolina have never been a big running team, stolen base team. But Kevin Schnall, that's kind of his MO. They steal bases, they send runners, that kind of thing. I think JB described it as an ants in your shoes offensive approach, put pressure on the opposing team. So this guy can do that. He's really fast and a very nice pickup. Sutton, the pitcher from South Florida, I read where he's a closer type, a really big arm, and they got some other irons in the fire as well. So things are going pretty swimmingly in the transfer portal right now. For the Gamecocks baseball team, as they try to get up off the mat as a program in Kevin Schnall's first year and make it back to the NCAA tournament, which I think would be probably make everybody happy, get back into postseason play where this program belongs. But baseball, the baseball stuff, Jack Veltri of GamecockCentral.com has been all over it reporting on the portal. So check it out. You can still join for $1. Some of the commit articles, though, are free. You can just roll on over there. TheBigSpur.com, GamecockCentral.com, On3, all that good stuff. You can also use the URL inside the Gamecocks.com. It'll take you to the site, the big hub, the South Carolina Gamecock hub on the On3 network. So, big decision tomorrow coming with Josh Dobson, the 5-star corner out of Huff High School in Cornelius, North Carolina. Steve Wiltfong had a final update. The Fong, my man, the Oracle, didn't sound totally promising for the Gamecocks. A lot of really great quotes about Texas A&M and Michigan. There's kind of a disconnect, a little bit of a disconnect. And I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong here. Certainly, I don't. I think for all of you and us in the Gamecock market, we hope that. At least the information we picked up not too long ago is good, or that there's something the national guys don't know about South Carolina. But he and Chad Simmons both have been saying A&M leads for a while. Now the Gamecocks have the largest NIL offer on the table, and that's significant. A&M got a 5-star corner the other day. I think that guy actually is the number one corner in the country. But what Steve and Chad both reported was Dobson's kind of intrigued by being part of a special class on paper they're putting together at A&M. And I say on paper because we remember what happened to Jimbo Fisher's special class a few years back. I think this is a different scenario, though, for Texas A&M with Mike Elko there and, kind of what he's all about. But, the money is not necessarily the overriding factor with A&M and Dobson, because the money is closer to home in this situation. But Carolina's been pretty confident about it behind the scenes. They've been recruiting him for a long, long time since he was at Catawba Ridge. He has said, though, just like a lot of these other guys, about the hot seat thing. And sometimes you say that, and because people want to believe what they want to believe, in with recruiting and recruit decisions for some. And look, none of these are wrong answers. They're all plausible. So I'm not saying people's thinking is off. It's definitely not. Because this happens. Absolutely. I've covered recruiting for 20 something years, and they're all standard. Some say the other school, either bought him back in the day, or that they negative recruited him, and the kid wanted to go, but the mom didn't, or the mom wanted him there and the kid didn't. There's all these things. And then now it's, well, Carolina can't afford to buy to pay him, so he's gonna go take the money elsewhere. And then some, it's like the coach can't recruit. And all those are plausible reasons, but you have this hot seat talk, and people push back on it a little bit. Somebody on the Insiders Forum the other day said, well, how's Clemson, because there was a story about out of the Upstate about Dabo. Is Dabo Swinney on the hot seat? I mean, if he went 3-9 this year and had a Tommy West style bottoming out, they may. I mean, it's $65 million or so. I mean, his buyout's ridiculous. I think he deserves some credit. I mean, they may look at him like Joe Paterno at Penn State. He was older than Dabo when this happened, but Penn State went through like 4 or 5 years of just stinking, and then they got back. Maybe they look at it like that. I don't know. This is not coffee about Clemson. So, but there was an article about him being on the hot seat, right? It's the first time I've seen Dabo mentioned this off season. I mean, there's people that the social media crews, the Instagram accounts, that they may have done something, but it's not as pronounced, so it's how's Clemson, if Dabo's on the hot seat, how's Clemson getting away, how are they recruiting so well right now? It's not as pronounced. And then within the ACC too, even if Dabo was on the hot seat, when you rank the ACC coaches that could get fired this year, you're starting with Mike Norvell. I don't even know if that'll happen this year because that buyout's insane too. And working your way down a list until you get to Dabo. I mean, Bill Belichick, I could pull the plug on that at any time. You never know when NC State's going to get tired of going 7-5 and get rid of Dave Doran. Bill O'Brien, they're said to not be happy with him at Boston College. I don't know. I think he's a heck of a coach. I don't understand why that's not working better. There's all the, I mean, you know, I mean, Tony Elliott's not on the hot seat. He may have been, and he had a losing season last year, though. I mean, there's all the ACC is full of. I'm probably missing one that's obvious too. The ACC is full of they could have several coaching changes this year. The SEC is not. The SEC had what, five? How many coaching changes last year? This says Auburn was one, Florida was one, Arkansas, Kentucky, and then Ole Miss, and then LSU. So six. It's almost half the league. The rest of the league, let's see, you got Clark Lee at Vandy, just had the best season ever. Mizzou was worried about Eli Drinkwitz leaving, so he ain't leaving. Josh Heupel, some Tennessee fans on the extreme end are mad. I don't know what, I mean, you compare him to Derek Dooley, Champions of Life, and Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, he's Vince Lombardi. They've won at a very big clip in Knoxville. I understand, with the money they spend and all that, expectations are higher, but I mean, he's made a college football playoff. He's been in the Orange Bowl. I mean, Carolina wrecked the first. I mean, the guy could be sitting on two college football playoff berths right now. I don't buy that at all. Plus, Danny White, their AD, had Josh Heupel as his coach for a while. down at UCF. So I don't really see that happening. So there, so we're up to nine. Georgia, Kirby Smart's not on the hot seat. Texas, Steve Sarkisian. You never know with Texas. They again, there's a lot of big time expectations there. You can get fired for winning nine games. But I think they're pretty happy with Sark. They just hired Will Muschamp, that kind of thing. Although there's a rumor, and this is totally a rumor. It's not, I don't even think there's any truth to it at all. But if Texas struggled, as they tend to do when they have good teams, they're not the most consistent. They don't dominate, It's been that way, no matter who the coach has been. That they're boosters because Muschamp was going to be the coach in waiting for Mack Brown, that they would promote Boom if they had to fire Sarkisian. I'm like, okay, well, I think Florida and South Carolina fans both, it would be a hard pill to swallow, with Texas and all the resources they have and all that they do. If Steve Sarkisian could not cut it, will and that would be like since the end of Mac, a bunch of good coaches. Charlie Strong's a good coach. Tom Herman's a good coach. And they were at the time, definitely. And then Sark, if he gets fired, and then Will Muschamp leads that program back to dominance. And then Gainesville and Columbia, everybody's just gonna be sitting there going, man. Oh, I went down the rabbit hole there, folks. Probably shouldn't have. Hey, we're on break. This is coffee on break. So Texas is safe, I think. A&M loves Mike Elko. Definitely safe. Took him to the playoff last year. So we're up to 12. Who else is there in the league? Mississippi State. It's what is it, year three under Jeff Lebby? I think he's got a little more time. I think, Kamario Taylor. They got to get their money right out there for football. But they've got an improved team. They brought Zach Arnett back. I mean, Carolina, needs to make sure that they have a very good game if they want to beat them in the opener. But I think they're safe. Maybe you can make an argument for it. So we're up to 13 now. Who else is in the SEC? Oklahoma, Brent Venables, probably if he'd have been 7-5-ish last year, it's not going to cut it at Oklahoma, but he went to the playoff and he's a native son and they're happy. So Oklahoma is a non-factor when it comes to that. It's Florida, blah, 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 blah. Who else do we have here? So South Carolina would be, so we're up to 12, 14. South Carolina would be the 15th team. And I am missing one. Who am I missing here? I don't know. Probably somebody pretty good, I would guess. Or maybe there was another coaching change. Who knows? We'll check it out. Oh, how could I forget the Alabama, Kalen DeBoer. If I'm doing a list and I want it credible. You're not listening to Alabama fans. You're going to listen to the Alabama administration that just gave him a $70 million contract with a huge buyout that has no mitigation clause. Like he could get fired, get his 70 million or whatever it is, head to Southern Cal, which trust me, I think that athletic director out there would hire him in a heartbeat if they get something happened to Lincoln Riley, which it probably should if they don't make the playoff this year. And he could still get paid from Bama. And I mean, Kalen DeBoer could be a billionaire with that contract. Alabama doesn't spend crazy money in NIL and stuff. People think because they're Alabama that they're rich, but the richness of your school has, and look, let's be honest, their success in football's definitely got a financial upside to it. Don't get it twisted. But you see the pattern of them. I mean, they were if SEC recruiting rankings, they were 16th the other day, and I bet they got some really good players in that class, and I bet they'll be fine. They've gotten some commitments since then, but everybody's outraged in Tuscaloosa, and I mean, the whole state of Alabama is shocked. But I just don't think, given that contract, that even if Bama goes 7-5, something like that this year, which may or may not happen. Most have them predicted on the higher end. Some kind of look at it and go, I don't know what if they fix their issues and Ty Simpson's gone. But he's safe. So if you're ranking the hot seat in the SEC, who are you going to go with? Well, you're probably going with the guy that's had two losing seasons in 3 years. And you're going with the guy that was in the top 10 and then bottomed out. Now, nobody cares enough to go into the reasons for that. Nobody cares enough to look at the roster this year and say, unless he deserves to be fired, this team's going to rebound. But hey, you got to put somebody up there. Somebody's got, like I always say about games, somebody's got to lose, and somebody's got to be on the hot seat from the SEC. And so that's why, right? That's why Dabo is in a different situation with a mention here or there, and the hot seat rankings in the ACC. Even if he was on the scorching butt hot seat, he would be ranked probably lower than Mike Norvell. But hey, it's you got to do it, and that's those are the consequences. I think Shane Beamer would probably tell you the same thing. I think it bothers him, because he's got his dream job. He does a lot right. He's won. They had a bad season, I think he's chomping at the bit to get back out there. He's a competitor, and I think there were some lessons learned too. He'd probably tell you that about offense and things like that. And he's made a lot of positive coaching moves and personnel moves since. But when you're in this world where everybody's got a hot seat list, right? It's list season, or it's the end of list season. We're about to get into talking season with media days. I mean, you got to put somebody up there. And when it's out there like that, high school recruits react. And Josh Dobson mentioned that. Now they sat him down and talked to him about it, and very transparent. And like it's not kryptonite, because Carolina's going to get some players to commit. They already have. But it is a factor, because if you're a kid like Dobson and you've got, and look, like let's say Nate Carson commits to South Carolina from Irmo. It's still home. He's saying, I'm going to stay at home. I'm just going to stay here and go to school for whatever reason. So you kind of like, okay, well, and then maybe I'll decommit and go someplace else, because his finalists essentially were Georgia and South Carolina, with Clemson in the mix heavily until a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what happened there. But I mean, he wants to just stay in 803 if he commits to the Gamecocks. And if he doesn't, he's just going to Athens. I mean, Dobson's from like Catawba Ridge, which is up, towards Charlotte, and now plays in the Charlotte area. Now that's close, but it's not Columbia, And so if you're him and you've got A&M and you've got Michigan, all these great options, and they're telling you, hey, make sure the coach is still there and the money's still there, because if you change coaches, by the time you step foot on campus, they're going to be gone. And the draw of South Carolina for a defensive back now definitely is Taurean Gray. Now, well, if there were a new coach, they'd be ridiculously short-sighted if they could keep Taurean to not keep Taurean. That said, who has Taurean Gray worked for the majority of his career? The Beamers. And he's had other opportunities to leave and hasn't. And a lot of that, hey, Columbia is a great place to live. Most coaches will tell you that. They don't want to leave. But, his loyalty to Shane Beamer has been a big part of it. So it's all tied together. Shane Beamer is kind of like the pin you pull. And so if you're Josh Dobson and you sort of feel like you're making a risky decision, and then you can always flip later if you want to. So that's kind of how I see it. As far as if he does pick A&M or Michigan, that's and I'm like I said, I'm glad it's getting out there, because a lot of times it sounds like maybe an excuse. but it's real. And the kids, the players, the recruits have talked about it. I mean, that's, you know, that's the but. Love South Carolina, love this, could see myself here. But it's the people. And these days too, a high school coach told me 2 or 3 years ago about this generation, and my stepsons are in this generation, so I've kind of tried to read up on them. And this rings true in my household and everywhere else. The kids these days, number one, they're generally like a little bit smarter in some ways, and much, much dumber in others, than maybe Gen Xers or millennials even. They're a little bit more health conscious in some ways. So that's a positive. That has nothing to do with this. But what a high school coach told me was, I was going down the rabbit hole there, was that they crave authenticity. And why? Because a lot of their lives exist in a fake world on their phone. And you can reach them with authenticity, and you can't reach them with bull crap. Because guess what? They can fact check you in real time on their phone. Ooh, okay. And they've had it in their hand since they were 10. So they know how to use it. And so they crave authenticity. In a fake world in which they exist, they crave authenticity. What creates the authenticity of the University of South Carolina football program? Shane Beamer and the people. That's the draw. They all say it. So if you take that away, there is zero attractiveness for anybody, any recruit, if you take that away. And not that South Carolina is not a big time SEC program, and this is not saying another coach couldn't come in and recruit and do well. I'm talking in the moment right now, that's the issue. And it sucks. It sucks. I mentioned Nate Carson, who will be making his announcement, I believe, Friday. Yeah, it's July 3rd, or is it the 5th? It's later in the week. The four-star offensive lineman from Irmo. This one's gone back and forth, kind of like Dobson when we were told, like, in the end, you feel good about it. Told the same thing about Carson. I'll be honest, I feel a little bit more confident about Carson than Dobson. I think Carson's visit went really well, and you know, he also every visit he made, you know, that leader board kind of changed. But that's okay. And what you know, I'll talk more about what I like about him, if he does commit and break him all down. But he is another nasty player. Like, he's physical, and he's got athleticism. I mean, he's every bit of a four-star offensive lineman. I mean, he's got and position versatile, like a lot of the guys could play tackle or guard. Really like him a lot. So if he did commit, the two offensive linemen from Columbia, James Ross and heck, man, the three my three most favorite prospects in the daggum class. If that happened, like, let's assume Dobson goes to A&M or Michigan, would probably be the three kids from Columbia: Jackson Ross, James Ross, and Nate Carson. And that's just favorite. I mean, if I were to sit down and rank them, I would have to like go through a lot of other criteria, and the actual rankings, if I produced them, would not come, maybe not come out that way. But I really like those guys. And you know, Jackson Ross, I talked about him yesterday. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, God, they could have gotten a pretty good one there. And nobody's going to see it coming because it's a three-star guy that ESPN is not ranked yet. He's the lowest. Jackson Ross is currently the lowest rated guy in the class. Unbelievable. Definitely not. Definitely not. So anyway, there's Davion Jones, who is Dobson's teammate. There was some speculation when he moved up his commit date to the next day, but it looks like LSU for him. He's an undersized safety, but a fantastic football player. And I've said earlier, I wonder if LSU talked about Honey Badger with him. He's taller than Honey Badger. He's bigger than Honey Badger, but he's that kind of guy. You know, he's just, you don't care about the measurables. He's just a great football player. Carolina certainly would love to have him, but it looks like LSU. And then Jaden Brody is announcing on July 4th. Boy, I love holiday announcements, don't you? That gives us something to follow. He's out of Rollsville, North Carolina. The Gamecocks are in pretty good shape there. He's a camp guy. He's an edge. It's a developmental prospect for sure. But they and on film, it probably, from what I saw, and I'll get deeper into it. You kind of have to project a little bit, but that's why you get them in camp, because then you can see, well, there's not a flash of athleticism here, but in this setting, we can actually see how he moves, see what he's built like. You can project and develop. And, Deion Barnes has a very good track record of development. So, a worthy take, even though it may not, I mean, he's a high three star for most of these. I mean, Rivals and 24/7 have him there, but that's not a low rating. But just on film, maybe didn't jump out like some of the others. But because they had him in camp and offered him immediately, there's probably something to it, right? He's listed at some spots at 6'2", 220. I don't like, I mean, my preference is, I'm not saying I don't like, my preference is not to have DNs built like linebackers. You have to bulk up that are 6'2" or so, but I've seen it work. So, and he may be looking, just eyeballing him on film, and maybe let's see if I get the what if he measured at camp. He looks more like 6'3½. And look, Anthony Addison, he's going to be really good. Kind of the same build coming out. So, Anthony was a lot significantly better football player on tape from what I saw, but they did like him. And North Carolina defensive lineman, it's D-line heaven, man. If you're going to take a flyer, and I'm not saying this is, I'm not saying they're considering this taking, I mean, they're selective anyway, so they have to have a reason to take him. But take a flyer. If you're going to take a flyer, a perceived flyer, do it in D-line heaven, man. D-line heaven. All right, that's coffee on a break for today. Wanted to get you all caught up with recruiting and the Josh Dobson decision coming up. We'll have complete coverage on thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com on three. Also, be sure to like or subscribe, like, subscribe, and share our Facebook. I mean, sorry, our YouTube page here. We have a Facebook page too, Inside the Gamecocks. FourQuarterFriday.com, your home of high school sports in the state of South Carolina, will launch soon this month on the Rivals On 3 network. We hope you guys will check all of the great coverage from Matt Smith and Rob Williams out. If you love high school sports, gonna have a message board community there too. I was told, don't let Lugoff, Elgin, and Camden fans talk to each other on the message board. Anyway, this has been Coffee on a Break with JC Sherbert. Hope you're having a wonderful final day of June, Gamecock Nation, and I'm out. Holla.